So, but there's a word from God. There's a word from the Lord, y'all. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And again, we're so grateful for these graduating seniors. As I'm sure you all have received a word of commencement. If not, you've graduated, you've gone down, and you've put your cap and gown on. Maybe you're waiting to do that. But you never have a real commencement until you get a word from God. Yeah. That we never move forward in life until God speaks. And so my heart's desire this morning is that God would give you a word that would allow you to go forward in victory and in power. Life will present some challenges, but as long as you go with God and God is going with you, you can defeat any enemy that comes your way. I need you to know that this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this: all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing comes from God in the heavenly realms. That's where God is. Because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us into himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. God can do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. He's sovereign. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who long out on us. I got so many scriptures in here, y'all, stuff scripture. I can't see my own writing. Poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace. Hallelujah. That he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Amen, somebody. He has showered us his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Y'all, I'm sorry. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I get excited when I just read it. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we're receiving an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. He makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that the Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now we Gentiles have also heard the truth. The good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Hallelujah. To these, before you take your seats, to these graduating seniors, and to all of you under God's voice, here under the sound of God's voice, I want you to be encouraged this morning by this thought. Know who you are. You may be seated. Know who you are. Thank you so much, ushers. Many years ago, there was a college athlete expected to be the next NFL star, superstar. That he had the scholarships, y'all. He had the spotlight. He had the fame. He had the followers. He had the endorsement. Had all of that. In an interview with this athlete, he said this, that at the time he was wrapped up, his identity was wrapped up in being that football player that people longed to be in his shoes, that his future was laid out before him. But one fatal day, he sustained an injury that changed the rest of his life. And he says this in his interview. He says, when football was gone, I didn't know who I was anymore. Listen, graduates, that's the danger of building your life and your identity on what you do as opposed to who you are. Graduates, listen, you all are stepping into a new world, into a new life. You are commencing, and there are lots of questions that people are asking you. What are you going to do after graduation? What school are you going to go to? Are you going to go into the military? Are you going to get an IT certificate? Are you going to do this? Are you going to have a family? How much money do you want to make? What's your career going to look like? All the questions that people ask you. But before you settle what you're going to do in life, God has to first settle who you are. And you need to know who you are. So the world says, find yourself, you know, do it yourself, prove yourself, create yourself. But God says, I already chose you to be mine. That I already loved you. I already called you. And so before you ever got that diploma that's got your name on it, God has a purpose that has your name on it. Let me ask you the question. Do you know who you are? It's not just for the graduating seniors in the house, but that's for all of us. So some people have lived 20, 30, 40, and 50 years, and they still don't know who they are. They're about to chase. Do you know who you are? Listen to this, y'all. Listen, your identity in Christ is more important than your activity in life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your identity in Christ is more important than what you do, your activity in life. Because identity determines direction. Identity determines direction to the extent that you know who you are. That's the direction you will follow. So as a child of God, your value is not up for vote. God is already telling us in his word today that if you're a born again believer, you have value in God. You are loved by God. You are chosen by God. And so in our text for today, Paul writes, y'all, He writes this letter to believers that are living in a culture that's obsessed with status, with image, with power, success. Does that sound familiar at all? But before Paul talks about behavior, before he talks about purpose, before he talks about spiritual gifts, as he does in Ephesians chapter 4, he tells them about their spiritual blessings. And our spiritual blessings are tied to who we are in Christ Jesus. Every believer has already been blessed. You've been chosen. You've been adopted. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. And you've been sealed in Christ. The greatest thing about our future is it's not about where we're going. It's about knowing who we are. And you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. What you believe about yourself shapes how you live your life. So if you know who you are in Christ, you can survive success. You can survive failures. You can survive rejection. You can survive when people walk out on you. You can survive when people talk about you and stab you in the back and scandalize your name, because you know who you are, that you belong to God, that you've been chosen by him. And so for the next few moments, y'all, that's all I want to do. I want to lift up this text today to these graduating seniors, to all of us, just to remind us, some of us know who we are. We accept who we are. But just to remind us who we are in Christ Jesus. The first thing is simply this. The text lets us know you are chosen by God. Again, verses 3-5. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided this in advance to adopt us in his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ, Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So Paul reminds the Ephesians. Paul reminds us that it's God's choice, that God chose you and me before the creation of the very world. And so seniors, your worth then is not, it's not in your GPA. I hope we got some 4.0s out there, some 3.8, some... But it's not about your GPA. Your worth is not in your GPA. It's not in popularity. It's not in being a great athlete. It's not in your ability. It's not in how many people follow you, how many people like you. Your worth is not in your future success. That God's love existed for you before you were ever born into this world. God chose you and me. This word chose, y'all. This word chose, it's a chosen, it's an important word. It's the idea of being selected intentionally, not by accident. Young people, you're not an accident. You weren't chosen by God at random. You're selected by God, not based on your potential, but based upon God's love for you and for me. And this word adopted, that's an important word too. So in Roman culture, that word adoption meant something. It was powerful. It meant that you received into God's family. You are a part of God's family, that you get a part of the inheritance, that you have full legal standing with God. That you're not an outsider. You are a part of the family of God. Never forget that. You are a part of the family of God. Some of you will go away to college. You'll go to distant places, to different places, not here in San Antonio, not here in Texas. But you need to find a place, a church where you can worship with other believers. Why? Because you are part of the family of God. So this is a local assembly where we worship God together. But there are churches planted all around the United States. Wherever you go, you are a part of God's family. Don't forget that. There's going to be some moments in y'all lives, listen, when you're going to feel the pressure. You're going to feel the pressure to fit in, pressure to fit in on the campus, the dorm room, the workplace, pressure to fit into relationships, to those friend groups, and people will try to define you. Hello, somebody in the house today. If you don't know who you are, people will try to rename you. Don't let people do that. Know who you are in Christ. Your identity is not found in what you accomplish in life. I can't say that enough. It's who you are in Christ. You're chosen by him. You are chosen by God. I think about a college athlete, y'all, that's, you know, they're recruited by, you know, one of those sports people, one of those teams. You know, they recruit them to come in, and, you know, they come out to the games, and they watch you play, you know, and they're taking note of all that you do. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get that phone call. They get the phone call. Listen, we want you. And maybe some of those out there are so good that there's somebody, we want you. And a third phone, we want you. Can you imagine the confidence that a player would have to know that people want them? Isn't it infinitely, wonderfully greater to know that God says, I want you. I chose you. You belong to me. The God who created the galaxies, the heaven and the earth, the universe, said, I want you, I love you, I chose you before you were born. So know that you've been chosen by God. Acceptance on earth, y'all, it'll change. People accept you one day and not accept you the next day. People will hug you one day and hate you the next day. But Jesus' acceptance of you, it will never ever change. So Paul says, not only are you chosen, but as we look at the text, he also says that you've been redeemed. Because God didn't simply select us, God rescued us. Look at this. You're redeemed through Jesus. Look at verses 6 through 8. So we praise God for the glorious grace he poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom. He redeemed us. Purchased our freedom means redeemed us with the blood of his son, forgave our sins. But listen, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Listen, purchased or redeemed, again, it means to buy back. I remember when I was young, y'all, growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, we used to have these glass Coke bottles. Some of y'all remember the glass Coke bottles, And you could take that Coke bottle, y'all. You could find them in a yard, find them in a trash can. You could take that Coke bottle and you could redeem it. You could take it back to a grocery store. We had Mr. Rogers in our neighborhood, y'all. That he was a grocer that sat up on the hill, the store sat up on the hill. I'd take those bottles, y'all. I go to trash cans. I'd find them in the field, take these Coke bottles, y'all, and I would take them to be redeemed. When I took it, he would give me a nickel for every Coke bottle I turned in, y'all. Yeah, I had 10, I had 50 cents would buy you something back then. Man, you could get some cookies, you could get some knowledge, you could get some stuff, y'all. But here in the text, it's often used in the marketplace for purchasing slaves from bondage. Hear me clearly. Sin had us all in captive. But Jesus paid it all. He paid it all by his precious blood. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul says that he didn't say we earned our forgiveness. He says God's grace was showered, his kindness was showered upon us. That grace is God giving you what you don't even deserve. It's the unmerited favor of God, and the grace of God goes with you and keeps you. The unmerited favor of an almighty God is with you. That God has showered his grace on you, his kindness on you and me. And so many people, y'all, and young people, hear me when I say this, that secretly we live with shame, with regret, hidden mistakes, past struggles, fears about the future and everything else. But your failures don't get the final word, because you've been redeemed by Jesus. The blood, the power of God, it gets the final word in your life and my life. And some of you may be stepping into adulthood as you commence and you get out and you're gonna live life, and life is gonna be like, adulting is not easy. Hello, somebody. Listen to me. One day you go long for the day when you think, I was back at mama's house. I had it good, y'all. I didn't have no rent. I didn't have a mortgage payment. And some of y'all are probably so blessed that maybe you got a hoopty, you got an automobile, and they taking care of the insurance, they taking care of the cell phone. Guess what? That's all gonna be on y'all one day. That's not a Debbie Downer, is it? That sound all right? I know y'all waiting to be free, y'all waiting to get out, but listen, life be life, and adulting is not easy. And so maybe some of you, maybe you carry baggage right now. But I found out something about God. Though we may carry baggage, he specializes in broken things. The enemy gonna say, listen, you messed up. Jesus said, I paid it all for you. The enemy will say, you're never going to recover from this thing. You'll never get over it. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. Yes, sir. You are not too broken for God to bless you, to uphold you, and to keep you. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I was searching on the internet the other day, y'all, and I ran across this store, y'all. It's called Cobblestone Shoe Hospital. Cobblestone Shoe Hospital, y'all, they fix shoes. They fix shoes. So some of y'all got some Louis Vuitton up in here, and it's looking a little raggedy. You can take it to the shoe hospital, and they'll fix those red bottoms. That maybe you got some name brand stuff. Listen, if the Jordan's worn out, right. If they cracked, right. You know, if that polish you try to put it to keep them white and stuff, it ain't crisp no more. It's got to crack. Take it to the shoe hospital. Take it to Cobblestone, because they specialize in the restoration business. Right. Listen, I know somebody better than the Cobblestone. That his name is Jesus. And he specializes in restoration. So when you are broken, when you are worn, when you feel like you crack, when you feel like you're a worn out old shoe, put your trust and your hope in Jesus. He's able to restore you. He is your redeemer. He is your keeper. He is your strength. He is your power. He is your sustainer. That we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But then Paul moves on, y'all. He moves on to something deeper in the text. Not only has God worked for us, but God is actually working in us. Look at verses 9 and 10 real quickly. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. I love this. God has a plan, y'all. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and everything on earth. Paul is saying something here. That history is going somewhere. That oftentimes we can have this fatalistic way of thinking that, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. But I know whatever will be because of God. That everything falls under his authority, under his control, that history, it's moving somewhere, it's going somewhere, that God has a plan, and guess what? God has a plan for you and for me. That your life, it's not random, it's not about chaos. God has planned something for your life and for my life. Paul talks about the word mystery. A mystery in scripture is not something that cannot be understood. It's, you know, it's something that's spooky. It's not that. It means something that's hidden, but it's now revealed. And the text lets us know that God has now revealed a plan, and that plan culminates in Jesus Christ. That means your life, the totality of your life, that it culminates in Jesus Christ and what he wants for your life and for my life. I know you are destined for greatness. I know you're destined to do great things. Y'all come from good stock. Y'all come from faithful people. Y'all, this is a southern word for you all, for those that don't know. But y'all come from good stock. And God has something in store for you. God has a purpose for your life. God has included you and me in his plan. God's plan is that everything culminates under the person and the work of Jesus Christ. This means your life has meaning, y'all, beyond money, beyond success, beyond titles, beyond gaining followers, beyond the people that like you, they'll walk with you one day and the next day they don't. It's bigger than collecting accomplishments in this life. You were created for God's purpose. So graduates, again, culture and the world is going to attempt to try to tell you who you are. They tell you, listen, follow your heart. Do yourself. Do what you want. Do it your way. Do what makes you happy. Build your own platform. Build your own world. Pick up yourself by your own bootstraps. But listen, fulfillment is not found in living for yourself. Fulfillment is found in living your life for the one that gave his life for you and for me. And that's Jesus. You're part of God's glory. You're a part of what God is doing in this world. I don't care what if you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a truck driver or you're an IT, whatever it might be. Listen, that God has still included you in that plan. Look for God in that plan. Don't move without God. So some people have fame, but look, they have no peace. They have no joy. They got a whole bunch of money, but they have no joy. They have popularity, but they have no purpose. Yeah. Because true purpose only comes through Jesus Christ. It only comes through knowing him. Amen. So imagine for a minute a person trying to put a jigsaw puzzle together. They got this giant puzzle. They have one piece of the puzzle, and they stare at that one piece. By itself, that one piece of the puzzle makes absolutely no sense. But when they can see the bigger picture, and the reality is we don't have the bigger picture, only God has the bigger picture. That's why we serve him. That's why we are part of his plan. God has the bigger plan, the bigger picture for your life and my life. Your life is part of something bigger, something greater, more than just what you do and how much money you make. And where you're gonna live, and what car you're gonna drive, that you're not just built, your life is not built for just for you, it's about serving God. Don't forget that. And I say this every year to graduates, it's just something true that happens, that a lot of us come up reared in the church, that we have this relationship with Jesus. Lord, help us in our theology, God, as we rear our children, they're solid in their faith, that young people go off into the world. They go off to college and they come home and they don't know Jesus anymore. They've fallen into these vain philosophies and stuff that they teach you in school. But you have to stand up and be the example and tell a dying world about a living Savior that he's real. Don't allow people to try to talk you out of your faith. Yeah, people will shun you. People will look at you like you're strange. But know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know who you are in him. Don't let anybody take that away from you. So now Paul now closes this section with one of the greatest promises that we see in Scripture. Not only are we chosen, not only are we redeemed and included, but we are sealed. That's where I want to rest. In the ancient world, y'all, they had these seals that they would use on important documents. The kings would roll up these scrolls with their writings in it, and they would take a seal of wax and they would stamp it onto the paper. So it was the king's authority. It was something that he actually wrote. And so a seal is kind of like, you may not be a farmer, but some of you know how you brand a cow with a, you put a seal on it. It belongs to a certain person. Well, maybe that doesn't fit. So in this day and age, you know, a lot of people get tattoos, you know, and some of y'all, some take that tattoo and they put it in the center of their back down here. They call it some kind of, it's a stamp. No, don't say that. Don't. I didn't say that. I didn't. let me keep it holy. Let me move on. But the stamp proved that it belonged to the king, that authority. Listen, you have been stamped. You have been sealed by the Holy Ghost. And you belong to him. You belong to God. You belong to Jesus. You're a king's kid. You have been, his seal is on you and me. Graduates, you need to know this truth, you know, as you're going into adulthood. Because the world will try to intimidate you and put you down to tell you that you're something else. But you have been sealed by the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to go some new places, have some new responsibilities. You're going to have some new temptations, some new pressures. But believers, you're never alone. The Holy Spirit will walk with you, talk with you, and tell you whose you are. I know some of you are excited about your future, maybe some nervous, some afraid. But I found out, so if you belong to Jesus, God's Spirit goes with you wherever you go. He's going with you to the dorm room. He's going with you when you sit down and take that big old test that you study for. He'll go with you when you go into the military. He'll go with you when you go into the workplace. That he's going to go with you in every unknown season of your life, that God is with you. The Spirit is on the inside of you, keeping you. Yeah. You have to know who holds you when you don't know what's going to happen on your tomorrow. You don't walk into your future alone. You walk in with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, dwelling in you and keeping you. I think about a GPS system, y'all. That a GPS system does not remove every obstacle out of your way, but it keeps guiding you as you go around obstacles. Right turn, wrong turn, turn back right. Every wrong turn you make, the Holy Spirit will let you know, here's the right turn, here's the right way. The Holy Spirit does this by his promise and by his power. Listen for the voice of God by way of the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? What does it even sound like? As you walk with God, you learn to discern the voice of God. You learn to discern his Spirit speaking to your conscience. When that friend say, let's go out, let's do it. You say, no, the Holy Spirit, no, don't do it. Let's go out to the party. Let's party hard until the break of dawn. Let's smoke, let's toke, let's joke, let's do it all. And the Holy Spirit will scream out, no. That's not the life I have for you. I have greater purpose for you. I have a plan for your life. There are people, there are young people that ruin their lives based off of one decision that they make at the wrong time. There are young people that lose their lives because they make the wrong decision at the wrong time about one thing they're going to do. Make good decisions. Wise decisions. But no, listen, you have the Spirit living on the inside of you to lead you and to guide you into those decisions. The Holy Spirit does not promise a problem-free life, but he does promise to be faithful, to be with you, to lead you and to guide you. The same God, beloved, the same God that saves you is the same God that's going to sustain you and keep you. So graduates, hear me carefully as we draw this to a close. So the biggest question in your life is not what you're going to do, what you're going to become. It's not about how much money you're going to make, how successful you're going to be. If you are successful and you do make a whole lot of money, remember there's a tithe. Remember there's a living faith. Remember us. But seriously, the biggest question is, who are you in Christ? You got to know who you are according to God's word, not what people say, not those other voices in the world, but who does God say you are? Listen, titles will change, jobs will change, relationships, plans change, but your identity in Christ should never change. It's secure. It remains the same. But Paul says you're blessed. He says you are chosen. He says you are adopted. He says you're redeemed. He says you're forgiven. He says you're included. He says you're sealed. Listen, that means you don't have to spend the rest of your time trying to figure out who you are. Jesus already tells us who we are in him. So believe it, hold on to it, and follow it. Young man graduated at the top of his class. Everybody thought that he'd be destined for greatness. They predicted greatness over his life, and sure enough, he graduated high school, graduated college, top of his class, built a big old business, had a wonderful resume, made some mad money, lived in that dream home, drove that bad automobile. But years later, this same young man said, I spent all my life achieving all of this stuff, all of these material things, but I didn't realize something. All of this stuff really means nothing. Because I gained all of this stuff, but I never really had a sense of identity and who I was. Listen, success can never carry the weight of identity. No matter how much money you make, no matter where you live or what you drive, success can never carry the weight of identity, and your identity is found in Jesus Christ. A lot of people spend their entire lives trying to climb the ladder, y'all, only to find that the ladder was on the wrong wall. That your identity is found in Jesus Christ. So seniors, I wonder, as y'all looking at me today, said I'll be glad when this is over so I can get up out of here. Listen, I need y'all to say with me, I know who I am. Come on, say, I know who I am because I'm a child of God. I know my identity. It's not in applause. It's not in achievements. It's not in popularity. It's not in relationships. It's not in the career, but it's found in Jesus Christ. Your identity can only be found in Jesus Christ. Things will disappear. People will leave your life, but know who you are in Jesus. I need to give you this final challenge, y'all, and we're gonna be out. Before you chase success, chase God. Before you pursue a platform, pursue purpose. Before you build a career, build character. In this day and age, character matters. It's still character matters. Build character, because who you are in Christ is more important than what you do. And when you know who you are, you can walk into any room with your held high. Yeah. You can walk in confidence, not in arrogance or pride, because you know who you belong to, that you know that you're the king's kid, that you know you belong to God, that you know he has an inheritance for you, that you know he has blessings for you, that you know he has a plan for you and fulfill that plan that he has for your life. Know who you are in Jesus. And the church said, amen. Listen, that's what I got for you. That's what God gave me. Look, take Ephesians chapter 1 and you pin that in your Bible. You dog ear that in your Bible. And when you feel like, listen, I don't feel like I'm this or that, or when people put you down or the grades aren't what you think they ought to be, I dare you to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. It will remind you of who you are in God. And so graduates, these takeaways: you're chosen by God, you're redeemed through Jesus and through his blood, your life is part of God's greater plan, you are sealed and guided by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Your identity in Christ means it matters more than anything else in this world. And one more time, the church said, amen. We'll talk to everybody in the house today. I don't think this message is just for graduating seniors from high school. It's for all of us. And I'm being prophetic, but I've lived life a little while. And I run across people that are, again, 40, 50, and 60 years old, and they're still about the chase. Still trying to figure out who they are. 60 years old and still trying to be a player. Come on now. Enough of that stuff. You're too old for that. Rub some big gay on someone and sit down somewhere. But people are about the chase. It's about success. Bragging about how much money they got in the bank. And I'm just listening. Yeah, good, all of that stuff. But who are you? Do you know who you are? Are you building your identity on Christ or culture or money or success or fame? Are you seeking purpose or popularity? Are you trusting your plans or are you trusting God's plan? Listen, I found out something, that we can always make plans, but God's purpose will always prevail in your life, in my life. So I invite you to surrender your plans to God's promises, your life to God. And if you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you into that relationship. Listen, the Bible lets us know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. Because of his love for you and for me, he paid the ultimate price. He died on Calvary's cross for you and me. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that saves us and that settles it. And so we ask God to come in to save us, and we allow him to be the Lord of our life, to lead us and guide us in every situation, every circumstance. He is the Lord of your life. He is the leader of your life and my life. And so if you're here today, we invite you. Our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their hands are extended. If you'll follow them across the hallway to room number one, we'll gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Won't you come right now? Hallelujah.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.